Guys, I'm starting to feel left out of the squishy adventure filming, so I don't know. I think we might need Rebecca back, but well done, JJ. That's great. Moderating and squishy, man of many talents. Well done. Happy Thanksgiving week. I love Thanksgiving. And the crazy thing is, guys, you know that once we hit Thursday, it is a real steep slope right into Christmas, isn't it? We just kind of fall right into it and then really into the new year. But I saw something this week, and I apologize. I know that many of you may have seen this too, but it was so amusing to me that I felt I needed to share it with you. It is one of New York City's and America's greatest Christmas tradition, the Rockefeller Christmas tree. So I just want you to check out 2020's Rockefeller Christmas tree. I wasn't sure that the video would show very well on here, so I thought I'd post a picture as well so that you can see 2020's Rockefeller Christmas tree in all its glory. Has there ever been a more perfect tree to represent our year? I saw one person post that it looks like the tree gave itself a haircut. And truly, is it not reminiscent of our favorite Charlie Brown and his Christmas tree? Mm-hmm. Actually, Charlie Brown's is a little cuter. I'm sure they will doctor up the Rockefeller tree. I've heard they like add branches, and that just seems messed up. But I honestly laughed until I cried when I saw that, because it really represents our year so well. A little sparse, a little awkward. Not at all what we were expecting, anticipating, or hoping for. Guys, at the beginning of 2020, we had a worship night. You remember? We're going to have more of those coming up. Don't worry. It's coming back. But we had a worship night. And during that time, we had all these prophetic words coming to the front. And what was it? 2020, a year of vision, a year of perfect vision. Well, how does that feel right now? How do we interpret that word in the midst of all that we have been through since March? A year of perfect vision. I heard a quote earlier this week, or maybe a couple weeks ago, and it said, whatever informs you, forms you. And it struck me, and it didn't just strike me in my mind, but it hit me in a really deep place. You see, we are currently being bombarded with news, with social media, with politicians, with friends. Everybody that we know has a strong opinion right now, and it feels like there is a cloud of chaos that is resting over us. And I'm here, don't worry, I want to give you some hope today. I think there's a way out of that mess, and I don't think it's too late for us to enter into a place of clear vision for the days remaining in 2020. And of course, not ironically, because this is how the Spirit works, but Sylvia has already said it in our worship. It's the truth of God's word that sets us free. It is the truth of God's word that gives us clear vision. It is the truth of the pages and the words in this book that will lift us out of the chaos and away from the noise and give us a clear sight line, a new place to see and understand even what's happening in our world today. Listen, we're not called to dig our heads under a rock and pretend nothing's happening. It's just that we're called to live from a higher perspective so that all that's happening doesn't force us under that rock. There is life for us in these remaining days of 2020. God's word will change your perspective. It'll elevate your thinking. It'll raise your peace. Anybody else want that? It'll lift your hope. So I just want you to know today, my really sophisticated word for you today, read your Bible. That's my word for you today. That is the crux of what I want to impart to you today. But honestly, guys, there is this urgency in my spirit. Read it. Sing it. Recite it. Listen to it. Let it change you. Let it wash over you and let it lift you to a new and different place. You see, this is not just a moral code, although that's part of it. It is not a self-help book, but if you read it, it'll help. It's not academic, but if you spent the rest of your life studying it, you would never search out its depths. It's not a collection of just independent stories, but rather it's one big story of God's redemption plan for the world and for you and for me. It is not a weapon to beat people up with. If you're doing that, you don't know the author. It is a book of life that will bring you life. It is living and it's active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the story of our salvation, and it will awaken destiny within you. You were saved for a purpose. It's the lamp to our feet. It is the light to our path. It is our gateway to the supernatural. It's the first step to hearing God's voice. People ask me all the time, or if I feel like it comes up in conversation a lot, I'm just not hearing God speak. How do you hear God speak? I don't know if I'm really hearing him. This is your training ground. This is where it starts. And look, I get to that place too where I'm like, I just don't feel like I hear him speaking. And when I get to that place, I just start reading. And I read and I read until I start to hear him whisper to me between the lines. Because he will, and he does. And really, it's the measure for all that we think we hear anyways. We have to know it. We have to know it well. It is, as Sylvia sang over us today, the truth that sets us free. So today, what I really want to do is I actually want to share with you some of my own personal landmarks, some of the places that I find myself coming back to over and over and over again. It's like my personal history book with God. They feel like they belong to me because they've become such a part of who I am. And I want to share some of that with you today. You know, we all have these like super familiar places in history, right? Like as I was thinking about this, my grandparents, my mom's parents have passed away for several years now, but I still remember their kitchen. Every detail of their kitchen, which would not be hard because it was probably like 8 feet by 8 feet. A teeny, tiny little room, and my grandmother insisted on having a table in the middle of this teeny, tiny room. So to get from one end to the other, you had to do this, walk sideways. To open the refrigerator, the person sitting down had to stand up. The linoleum was orange and lime green in some kind of wild pattern. She had a collection of little sassy signs above her sink. One of them that I remember, it said, "There's two choices for dinner, take it or leave it." I remember the smell. I remember where we would always get Crumpy's Donuts. Anybody familiar with Hagerstown, Maryland? Crumpy's Donuts, little mom and pop, probably equivalent to our Strites here. And we'd always get them, and there was one spot where they sat. I remember the way it smelled. I remember the thing she had hanging in the corner. I remember my best friend's basement. I remember roller skating to Billy Ray Cyrus songs, making up routines to "Don't Break My Heart." We have these places in our past, right? We have these pieces of history where we know the feel and we know the smell, we know the taste. We know what it feels like. And I believe that God wants to create landmarks and history with you in this book. You might have some of the same places you return to as I do. Some of you, I know, you have such a high value for this book that this is all review. But I also know that if you feel that way, you're really thankful I'm talking about it because it means so much to you. These verses that I cling to, they are like a sponge that just doesn't ever dry out. Every time I go to them, I see something new. Every time I return, I squeeze and I squeeze, and there's always more water that comes out. It is a cup that when I am parched, it always satisfies. So I'm gonna share some of these. The first one is from Philippians 4. The Lord is at hand. Grace Covenant Church, the Lord is at hand. He's here. He's with you.
Hello.
See? The Lord is at hand. Even Siri knows. Don't be anxious about anything but the election that we just had. Don't be anxious about anything but the pandemic that continues to go on. Don't be anxious about anything but your work. Don't be anxious about anything but your kids and their friends and the decisions that they're making. Don't be anxious about anything but... No, it actually just says, don't be anxious about anything. Nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. And you see, again, as you read scripture, every time the Lord makes these statements like that, he always gives us the instead, the other side, what our option is to get out of that. Don't be anxious about everything, but in prayer and supplication, which is petitions or an earnest request, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Good news. It says Thanksgiving week, so I did have to say a little something about thanks. It says right here, with thanks. This isn't a general gratitude like my boys' supper time prayers, where they have a fork almost in their mouth And they say, and we say, Caleb, pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for this food. Thanks to my teacher for giving me much homework. And then they're eating, right? We're trying. Pray for us, okay? It's not just this like overall gratitude, which is good. It is good to acknowledge the good things that God has set before us. There is research done that says that those who have gratitude, who are thankful, are healthier people overall. Isn't that interesting? But actually right here it says, with thanks. What it means is with a recognition of who God is in your situation. Present your request, present your situation to God, present your anxiety with God and exchange it as you understand who He is in the middle of your situation. You know, thanks is really, especially that kind of thanks, it's a staging ground for miracles. That's a different way to think about it. Think about Jesus feeding the multitudes. Did it more than once? Both times it says he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks. And then the food was multiplied. Fast forward to the Last Supper. Jesus takes the bread, which represents his body to be broken, and a multiplication of life comes forth. Thanks is a staging ground for miracles. It's not a formula. God's promises are as sure as their fulfillment. We can look at Abraham. God promised him an heir, and he gave thanks decades before it actually came to fruition. When God says a word, it will come to pass. And so what do we get instead? We give God our anxiety. We get peace. And not just any kind of peace, peace that surpasses understanding, peace that absolutely doesn't make sense in the midst of your circumstance, peace that goes beyond what you could ever hope for, peace that works as your guard against the words of the enemy. I love these transactional verses. Those are ones that I go to all the time. I love those. In Isaiah 61, where it says, this is the one, of course, Isaiah prophesies it, but then Jesus picks up the scroll in his own hometown, and this is the passage that it falls to. It starts out, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news. And that passage goes on to give this brilliant little word, instead. And it does it over and over again. To those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. He gives us beauty instead of ashes, that's an upgrade. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. These are not fair trades. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Instead of your shame, there's a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, their land, they shall possess a double portion. He felt like that one needed to be said twice. And they shall have everlasting joy. Listen, this isn't like, what year is my Volvo? Like 2002? It's not like I trade my 2002 Volvo and get a 2020. That would be great. But I give my 2002 Volvo and I get like a Lamborghini. Not even in the same playing field. I love that. I gotta visit this often, guys. I gotta remind myself of this truth, and it brings life to the deep places of my spirit, and I can't stop talking about it, apparently. All right, I'm gonna move on to another one. Numbers 14, it's actually Numbers 13 and 14. It's one of my favorite stories. It's not so much just wrapped up in one passage, but it's where Moses sends the spies to check out the promised land. I feel like we talked about this one recently. 10 of them come back. Well, actually, all 12 of them come back. There is fruit in the land. There are grapes that they had to tie to a big long pole and have multiple men carrying it. Can you imagine what that looked like? It's a good land. It says it's flowing with milk and honey, which means that there's just abundance. Everything that you could ever ask or need is in this land. And the 10 come back and they say, it's great, but we can't have it. Because the people in the land, they're big, they're giants, they're strong. We could never defeat them. And then we've got Caleb and Joshua who are like, come on, guys, man up. Actually, what they said is, if these people are like bread to us, they don't have the power. This is our land. God has given it to us. And this passage right here, it reminds me not to measure God's word according to what I see, but instead through the lens of what God has promised. You know, Caleb and Joshua saw the giants too. They weren't blind. They saw the giants as well. They weren't blind to the obstacles ahead of them, but they had more faith in God's promise and provision for them than they had fear of man. It says Caleb had a different spirit about him. God, give us a different spirit about us. God, we ask, would you give us a different spirit? Give me a different spirit. God, I don't want to fit in. I want to stand out. I don't want to add to the noise, God. I want to set people free. Caleb and Joshua got to go on to the promised land. None of the rest did. So my obedience leads to my breakthrough. And my disobedience is going to keep me wandering. I hate that place of wandering. I have so many. I wanted to share so many, and I just can't. But here's the thing. You've had a taste of what I mean. Main point, Ridge Bible. Not too hard. There's something here for you. There's something here for you. There's life here for you. From start to finish, this book is the key to your breakthrough and to a higher perspective. And so you might be wondering why there's a ladder behind me. Well, we'll figure out now. And don't worry, I know everyone's stressed right now. I'm going to climb the ladder in my heels. Relax. I hear the story of David and Goliath. And I'm reminded that I don't need to be super strong to overcome the giants that are in my life. In fact, I just need an undivided heart and a confident faith. And God, maybe a few pebbles and some good aim. Right? I read the story of Esther, and I'm reminded that even when things aren't as I had always dreamed that they might be, God has appointed me for such a time as this and for the saving of his people. I read the prophets, and I get it, they're a little weird. But it inspires me to radical obedience, and it helps break down my desire to be normal all the time. It's overrated. We are called to be a supernatural people. I read Daniel. And I'm reminded that honoring my leaders is always the way forward. Even the ones I didn't pick. Sorry, guys. I read the Psalms and it breaks me every time. Man, David and his devotional life are like goals. And when David says, "One thing I ask, this one thing I seek, that I could dwell in the house of the Lord forever and gaze upon his beauty." David knew where the source of his strength came from. It's just the presence of God. It's the most beautiful thing. Proverbs, they teach me how to live. Got a great view right now. It's a great view. I can see. Do you understand? I can see from up here. I can't always see down there. And I'm telling you what, over the last few months, I have had to discipline myself every day to say, I got to go up a little. I got to climb that mountain. I've got to ascend to the hill of the Lord. If I can't see, it's not because God hasn't provided a way for me to see. We're okay. I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to stand. I'm going to pray straight out of Scripture. And now, can we just all take a moment and laugh? This is why I wear heels. I can't see over the podium. So I want to speak life from God's word over you. This is another one of my very, very favorites. Just close your eyes. I just want you to receive this. Just soak it in. Lap it up. Ephesians 3, 14 and 21. 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart richly. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, Grace Covenant Church, may be rooted and grounded in love and have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Ministry team, come on up. Church, I release you to know the height and depth and breadth of God's love, and read your Bible. I love you, church. We'll see you next week.